Hello, everyone. I just listened back to my Ashton and Mila episode and I was walking back and forth while recording it. So I'm gonna walk back and forth on this one. I think it gives me a little energy more than usual, at least. I am struggling to, granted, I'm not actively thinking about it, but I am struggling to come up with a new name for this podcast. And I'm also struggling to kind of, I think I want to have a set of three to five set topics that I discuss so that, that it is kind of defined what my content will be and it will be better for my audience. And so it's going to take time. I think it's going to really take time for me to come up with a new podcast name and then try to be very specific about what this podcast will cover. I know that I for sure want to cover Netflix shows because I obviously watch those. So, anyways, it is time to talk about The Ultimatum Season 2. Now, I was supposed to do an interview. I was very excited about the interview. That person that I was supposed to interview ghosted. And then I reached out to that person and they explained that they were busy. That's fine, but let me know if you're going to be busy. And that's all part of why I don't get many guests on this podcast. However, I'm not going to let that experience sour me because I haven't had a bad experience with doing interviews when I've done them, and all of my interview episodes have been some of my most popular episodes out of all my episodes. And I think I'm probably up to 80 some odd episodes, but I've basically taken quite a few of my episodes down just in the event that this podcast grows a bit. I don't want some of the things that I've said to just be out there on the internet. But anyway, so I am not doing an interview for The Ultimatum, and I will definitely still try to do more interviews as time goes on. I'm not going to let one person ruin everything for me and change my perspective on it. And hopefully, next time when I book someone, they will actually go ahead with the plan. So, the ultimatum, what I'm so fascinated about when it comes to this show is that never in reality TV history, yes, I am being hyperbolic right now, have we had a premise of a show that just allows us, that puts us in a place where we feel completely emboldened to criticize and judge the hell out of the cast members. Because we sit there and we're like, well, obviously your relationship wasn't so good if you went on the ultimatum. And I disagree. First of all, I'm going to start paying attention to the production company that does these Netflix shows. Because when I tell you a bitch is about to fucking audition for a Netflix show, I ain't playing no games. It's over. That's that. That's that on that with as far as me not becoming a fucking reality star? Absolutely not. At this point, I am so ready to be on Netflix, Bravo, TLC, 90 Day Fiancé up in this motherfucker. Like, I am ready to be a reality star, and I am an asshole. So it's like, I know I have to just be very fake. I have to hide all of my psychotic tendencies, but I'm the way how I see these reality stars come up off of these shows. Okay, trust and believe I will be up start applying to these effing reality shows. No exaggeration. But when it comes to the ultimatum, we like viewers love to watch this show and say that if a couple goes on the show, something was wrong with them. They shouldn't have needed an ultimatum. They weren't good to begin with. That is stupid. So outside of the potential benefits of getting an audience, a huge following online off of this show, I love the premise. Because if y'all are if y'all are a solid couple, you're going to survive this show. It's not going to break you. And I don't mind that couples want to test their commitment and their strength and their potential longevity with this show. Go ahead. Again, if y'all are strong enough, you'll survive it. So I don't look at couples who go on this show and say that they shouldn't be together and something's wrong with them for going on this show. However, I look at the couples who were cast on season 2, and in a lot of ways that were cast on the Queer Love season, second straight couple season. But anyways, I look at these couples and I'm just like, they're a disaster and they are a mess. Like, we all know that there are so many couples who are miserable, and we all know there are so many couples that shouldn't be together, and we all know that there are so many couples that don't understand how effed up their relationship is. And then here comes Netflix swooping in, scooping all these dysfunctional couples up and throwing them on our screens. And I cannot imagine how many people see themselves in these couples. And we can only hope that the people who see their dysfunction in the dysfunction of these couples will call it quits. Because this season, it was troubling. I wanted to be happy for these couples and to be rooting for these couples. And some of them I genuinely am. I will get to that. But the rest of the cast, the majority of this cast, we need them to break up immediately. Because there is no happiness to be found in most of these couples. So I hope that viewers will see themselves in this. And I'm heartbroken that there's so many people who just don't want to be alone, so they're in these shitty relationships. It's like, if we think about it, the amount of people who are together, short or long term, who should be together and who are actually healthy and stable and uplifting each other and enriching each other's lives. After watching this show, I'm like, do they exist? Are they like 10% of the population? Because I don't want to think that every single one of these couples is representing the millions of couples out there that are miserable, that I know that's the reality. I know that these couples, we just got a name right now. We just got the names of these people in these horrific relationships. And we see that these are people in their 20s. Pretty much the whole cast are early 30s. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is real life. I can't believe that two people who clearly are not feeling the way that they should about each other make up so many couples, period. And these people have the audacity to get in our faces and try to sell their quote-unquote love to us and convince us of some bullshit, when deep down they know that something is missing and something ain't right. Something in the milk ain't clean. Something in the water ain't clean. And I don't know. I'm like, at this point, where does the show go? Who the fuck are they going to cast for future seasons? If the couples on the show are getting progressively worse, like the abusive ass couples on the Queer Love season, and then we got this shit going on, what y'all, like, Netflix, what is y'all doing? How are these people so fucking messy and getting on TV like they're not messy? So I'm gonna go down the list on my notes. First, I'm gonna start off with Lisa and Chris. I'm starting off with the worst couples, like ranking them like the worst to the least worst. So I gotta start with Lisa and Chris. We got Lisa talking about to Chris about how he's talking to some Hooters bitch and screaming about what are you learning from her. And I rewatched the episodes and I fast forwarded past the whole thing to make my notes, but I watched Lisa's meltdown. Lisa, honey, I know you talking about how Raya, how you're asking Chris, what is he gonna learn from Raya? Well, what you taught America is that you're a bitch and that you're an abuser and that you're controlling and that you have no impulse control, no control over your emotions. You taught us that you're hypocritical. You taught Chris's friends and family that they shouldn't fuck with you. And you showed them why he shouldn't fuck with you. And not only that, but you sat there and played into the stereotype of black women having an attitude and being difficult, being bitches. The one stereotype that you didn't represent or play into was when it comes to black women is you didn't present yourself as a gold digger because you out earned Chris and you told him, look, you got a six-figure bitch right here. He don't care. He don't care. But Lisa, you're old enough to understand that when you come up on these shows and you act like a bitch and you act like an asshole, that you don't get the brand deals that you should be getting. You don't secure the bag that you should get. And that's what you should have cared about. You should have cared about making that bread because Chris don't want you. He don't want to put a ring on it. And with what you showed the world, we saw why. So what you should have done is just focus on putting forth the putting your casting yourself in a positive light, but you were too busy being an angry bitch, even though it was your idea for you and Chris to go on the show. So, Lisa, I don't see this show creating any opportunities for you. I don't see it opening any doors for you. I just see Chris finding the courage to walk away. I don't know when, but I don't see him wifing you. I feel that he is going to be pressured by his friends and family and coworkers and people on the street to dump you. And maybe at some point he'll get tired of having all these people in his ear and he'll leave you. But you really didn't have to do everything that you did on TV. And I have moments I'm not proud of, as does everyone, but they did not play out on Netflix. You should have held that shit together. And I'm not getting to the reunion just yet. I'm just going down my list. So that was Lisa, and but I gotta say, shout out to you, Lisa, for making me want to watch the entire season just by what you brought to the table in, I think her meltdown was episode two, even though obviously after Lisa and Chris left, like, if I'm keeping it a buck, after Lisa and Chris left, the shit got boring. It got boring real fast. For the most part, it just did. A lot of people said online and like, let's be real, it got boring. Like, Lisa, you should have stayed on the show throwing tantrums. You should have stayed. All right, so next on my list, I got Roxanne and Antonio. Roxanne is someone that I dislike the most on this cast. Like I said, I'm ranking this shit on my list. So when I get to Roxanne and Antonio, I gotta say, Roxanne, you did not invent the internet. You didn't invent Facebook. You didn't invent TikTok. You aren't creating the next billion-dollar company. You didn't create the Ring doorbells. You have pasties. And there's nothing wrong with being the owner or creator slash owner of a company that's of a pasties company, But there is something wrong with the fact that you are a workaholic and you have been spending years of your life with a non-workaholic, but yet you're trying to force him into that, force a, square into a circle. And because he's not who you want him to be, you think that you should talk down to him and talk poorly about him. Pick a lane. If you want to be with someone wealthy and some entrepreneur, be with one. If not, shut the fuck up. And Antonio, like the way how Antonio is so desperate for Roxanne, that none of that is attractive to me at all. And but we what we've learned, we what we come to see is that if Antonio were sticking up for himself to Roxanne, she wouldn't fuck with him. So Roxanne and Antonio, least favorite couple right after Lisa and Chris. Why are you guys together? Why? Okay, next we got Kat and Alex. I didn't see, apparently there was a conversation about love languages and words of affirmation, and Alex was an asshole. I personally like Alex. He's a straight shooter. I think I could fuck with Alex, honestly. Like, I like someone who's no nonsense. And what you see is what you get with Alex. And he just comes across as very genuine to me. Like, he's not kissing your ass. He's not blowing smoke. He's not gonna sugarcoat. I trust people like that. And I think Kat is very smart for finding someone like him and trying to make it work because she's in love with him and she doesn't really care what anyone else has to say. So next we got Trey and Raya. So Trey is into Raya because of how Raya looks. And Raya is into Trey because of how Trey treats Raya. But Raya's way too young to settle. She's 24 years old and started dating him at 22 years old, if I'm not mistaken. That is too young to settle. They don't seem to have anything in common. Trey don't seem to know how to fuck. He don't be doing foreplay. He's just like stares at her wide-eyed like a puppy dog. And Trey talks about how she wants to talk about hair and nails or makeup or whatever. I wish that they had something in common. I wish that I could root for this couple. I can't, because they shouldn't be together. You got a man who's desperate to have, a woman who looks a certain way on his arm, and then you got a woman who's desperate to be with a man who treats her a certain way. That doesn't mean that y'all should get married and be together. But again, these couples are trash. And Netflix. I'm scared now. What are you gonna bring for the next season? Now I'm frightened. Next, we got James and Ryan. So, James, I feel, has possibly been abused. He says he has a lot of trauma. And it's really devastating that he's spent so many years with Ryan and she's unaware of his trauma. All I know is that James is a freak, and I think him being a freak is connected to his trauma. And I love Ryan. I think she's great. I think she's sweet. I think she's beautiful. And some people said they shouldn't have been on the show because they've been together so long, but I'm glad they were on the show. I love Netflix trying to stir the pot by taking a couple that has been together for as long as James and Ryan have. And they're Southern, they're very Southern. Just hurry up and get married and do that whole, high school sweetheart bullshit thing. Go do it. I don't really give a shit. I don't think I'm not I don't look at a couple like James and Ryan and be like, "Oh, well, they started dating at 16, they need to be with other people first." There are so many couples that start dating young and that's the only person that they will be with. Go ahead. I don't give a shit. That's not my journey. But it does work for some people. And so I don't ever judge it and look down on it as though something that two people shouldn't pursue just because they were children and they don't know anything different. Ignorance is bliss. So next we got, I wrote that James in the trial marriages, James keeps telling Raya that he's a great lover, but he won't touch her. And men like James need to shut the fuck up. Okay. if you're such a great lover and you're not going to show me, don't tell me, first of all. And second of all, if you're such a great lover and you don't want to be with me, don't bring your A game, sex game to the table. Keep that away from me. I don't need to know how you break it down if you're not going to keep doing that for as long as I want to do that. So I think men who talk about their sex game and don't actually show you what it's about, same thing with women. Jail, you know, people say that phrase jail, jail to those people. And then the men that sit there and they do dick you down and they have no intention of dicking you down long term, jail. Both in both scenarios, jail. Shut the fuck up. Keep that good dick away from us, okay? We don't need to be traumatized. Next, we got Antonio running to Roxanne when he's told that Roxanne doesn't respect him. So, like, Antonio's gross to me. He's really gross. He dries me out. I don't like desperation. I can't. It's not for me. And, you know, it's the way how Antonio acted because he knew that that shit was the truth. It made me feel so nasty, so gross. Like, secondhand embarrassment shit. I hate it. So then, I love that Kat tells Antonio that he can't tell Al or can't call Alex a shitbag. Like, Kat has her man's back, and I love it. Like, Kat doesn't get enough credit for speaking up. Like, she really kind of got this edit that made her look like a doormat. And when you think about it, when you're on a reality show, it's kind of like you either look like a bitch or a doormat. And I think she's smart for going the like very passive, quiet, non-confrontational route for the most part. That's genius. Might like it's better for everybody to say that you have no spine than for you to be looking like Lisa or Roxanne. Next, let me see. I have in my notes that Roxanne. Okay. So Roxanne is crying so much before Antonio proposes. She looks devastated. She looks like her life is ending. The look on Roxanne's face is not how you're supposed to be looking when your man is about to propose. And then when he proposed, she was hesitating to say yes. I don't like Roxanne. I think she is the one who is weak and she is the one who is pathetic because she don't want to be there. As far as my impression is that she does not want to be with Antonio, but she's just going through with it. And it's very toxic to me what she is doing to herself and what she is doing to Antonio. Because Antonio could be with someone who would never complain and would just be happy to be with him. And she could be with somebody that she's excited about and proud about instead of bashing all day. So we see that, you know, Lisa, of course, she said she was pregnant, and I thought it was a lie. Like, I saw, like, before I watched the show, I did see a YouTube in the headline review of the show, and they said how Lisa was faking being pregnant. And then we found out that she was pregnant and she had a boy. And the sad thing is, Lisa is so unlikable that we can't be happy for her. When we see that she has a boy, I'm like, okay, next. You know, or had a baby, it's like, okay, cool. And that's sad. Like, when people can't have positive feelings for you, when good things happen to you, that's when you know you took shit too far. So then we see, now we're at the reunion, obviously, because I mentioned Lisa having her baby. I don't know how many animals Roxanne killed to be wearing them around her neck, but it was a bad look. And somebody hates her. Whoever approved of that look, they hate you, Roxanne. So we see that Roxanne will not wear her ring, and she talks about how a man should wear a ring too, as if that isn't a problem she could have solved. Roxanne has some of the worst spin ever. Like, she just should say something like, I just don't, it's too heavy, I'm afraid it's gonna get stolen. Just something instead of the man should wear it too, and blah, 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 and I took it off the next day and I keep it in the box. Like, you are at the reunion, and I understand that you hate your man so much, but you're at the reunion. That's the one place you should be wearing the fucking ring if you're gonna say you're still engaged. Like, let me tell you something. Roxanne just falls into the category of them reality TV assholes that I'm happy will be gone into oblivion after the fucking show. So next we have Roxanne saying that I have a fiance is wild. She just said wild instead of I love it. I'm excited about it. Like, I cannot. Okay, so then Vanessa, as we know, she keeps on asking Antonio and Roxanne if they're going to get married. And then, you know, Vanessa, let me tell you something about Vanessa. Vanessa Lachey is good at certain things. She's good at being annoying. She's good at making fun of Nick Lachey. And she's good at putting people on the spot when she's ready. She's good at putting her fucking heel on their neck and not taking it off. She knows that Roxanne don't like Antonio. So she, will you get married? Will you get married? Will you get married right now? Nick could marry you. Nick is ordained. Will you get married? So Roxanne, will you get married right now? Roxanne goes, absolutely not. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right, moving on. I don't know. I'm laughing because I'm like, bitch, why are you there? Why are you with Antonio? Like, have some self-effing respect. So next we got that we see that Raya is territorial. We see that Raya says that, you know, Ryan should not be texting or wanting to message Trey. But Raya, you don't even care about Trey, so go ahead. Let her text him. So next we got Alex saying that he's very thankful for Kat and excited about the future. Now, Alex and Kat, I am so on board with these two. I just feel that you see the excitement in Alex's face. You really see the love coming from Alex. He's happy. He's happy to be with Kat. I think the experiment, as they call it, or experience or trial marriage, I know Love is Blind always calls it an experiment, it just really showed him, okay, this is my person. And that's really what you're hoping to happen from the ultimatum. Is it bringing you closer together or drawing two people apart? And I fucks with Kat and Alex. I like them. I definitely like them because they seem to be on the same page. Now, Roxanne is also, like, I've alluded to it a few times. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think all the lights are turned on upstairs. So Roxanne was like, when Nick and Vanessa ask if they've picked a wedding date, when they ask Kat and Alex, Roxanne is like, I didn't get to save the date. Roxanne, honey, all you did the entire show is try to get Kat to dump Alex. All you did the entire show is pressure Kat to dump Alex. And all you did the entire show after you realized that Alex was not going to sit there and be your doormat and you turned on him, all you did was attack him, be shitty to him, argue with him, confront him. Why the fuck would you get an invite to their wedding when you were a see you next Tuesday the entire series? Why would you want an invite? And why are you so excited? Somebody said it. Why are you so excited about their wedding? Like, and you don't even want to wear your ring. You're more excited about Kat and Alex's wedding that your ass does not belong attending than you are about wearing your fucking ring and you getting married. He's talking about absolutely not, I won't get married to him. Okay. Roxanne, I'm so happy I don't got to see you no more. You're annoying. So next we got, so I'm going to say what, now I'm at the questions I would ask my interviewee. I would ask my interviewee, what would you have asked cast members? So I'm going to look at my list and I'm going to say what I would have asked if I were Vanessa Lachey. So I would say, Chris, do you feel that Lisa has an anger management problem and that she has mistreated you in the past? Has Lisa hit you before? And if he said no, I would say, I think viewers would find it hard to believe that the very first time Lisa hit you was on camera, especially when you warned Lisa and told her not to get upset when you're talking to other women. There was no accountability when it came to Lisa attacking Chris. What we had was Roxanne piping up like, oh, I'm sorry I said that, I thought you weren't pregnant, and it was the hormones. Hormones have nothing to do with Lisa being a see you next Tuesday every time she was on screen, whether she was pregnant or whether she had the baby. She was always being nasty, rude, despicable, controlling, sour-faced. Like, if Lisa is attractive, I can't see it because her personality is so bad. So I would have asked Chris about the abuse, because what we've seen on both seasons of The Ultimatum, the straight ones, I'm not going to talk about the queer love one, is that Nick and Vanessa, they don't seem to care when somebody actually physically assaults somebody on the show. And when it's a woman, there's too much of a double standard here, where when the woman hits the man, shoves the man, whatever, it's glossed over. It's like, okay, on to the next question. And that's a problem. And I hope that changes, because that's all part of why men are so embarrassed to come forward. It's like, nobody seems to care when these men are assaulted. And I understand that men are physically stronger than women, but abuse is wrong, period. And it's just not, it is trivialized on this show. It just seems like it's par for the course when a woman is mad on The Ultimatum. And I really don't like it at all. So next, okay, so what would I have asked the cast members? I wouldn't ask Roxanne and Antonia a goddamn thing, because I would just be like, I can't with them. I'm looking. I wouldn't ask any of these couples any other questions. Like, I'm sure I could come up with them, but I'm like, I'm not really into these couples like that for me to even think about what I would ask these people. And then I was going to ask my interviewee who's getting married, who's breaking up. I will get into that later in a separate episode about everything that I found out about the cast members, the few things I found out since I watched the show. I watched the show like a week ago or so. So anyways, and also at the reunion, as we saw, Lisa told Raya that she doesn't care about what she said. She's not sorry about what she said to Raya. She doesn't care about anything Raya has to say, that Raya was on there to sleep with, to get her rocks off with Chris. And we see that Trey didn't come in and check Raya. Or sorry, Trey didn't defend his fiance Raya against Lisa. My pussy was dried out. Like I said before, like, Trey is like, listen, you need to defend your woman just like you need to defend your man, period. And you cannot talk to my partner the way that Lisa was talking to Ryan, and I'm not going to say nothing. Trey is such a pussy. Like, I can't do it. I can't. So then we have Antonio's dumbass jumping in and like, oh, Lisa, I know you don't mean that. She literally just said she don't care. She means it. We don't need you, Antonio, jumping in. Like, Antonio, I know his heart was in the right place, but he's Antonio, shut up. Let Lisa continue to dig her own grave. But Raya thought that she was doing something when she's like, oh, you call me a Hooters bitch, but you told me you worked at Hooters. Why didn't you, Raya, check Lisa when she came for you, still talking about how you wanted to sleep with Chris? Like, Raya was too timid for Lisa. Like, I wish Lisa would. If I was Raya, they would have to cut to commercial break. Okay? They would have to cut to commercial, because I would have came for Lisa. You are not going to do me like that. I would have said, guess what? You shouldn't be so concerned with me and what you think I wanted to do with Chris. You should be more concerned with what Chris wants to do with you because he obviously doesn't want to marry you. You still don't got a ring. It's like, imagine if Raya said that. Imagine we would have so many memes, so many viral moments because you know Lisa, like her wig would have straight, her weave would have fallen out of her head. She would have raced to Raya to knock her out. And guess what? Trey wouldn't even hold her back. We already know that. But it's like, that's what I wish would happen. Like, I wish that Lisa would have talked like that to a hood bitch. Oh my God, it would have been good TV. But as I said, I want to see out of all these couples, I want to see none of them after this show. And someone said something in a comment and I really agree with it. They said that Netflix needs to have a backup couple for when a couple decides to leave. So Lisa and Chris left, and then as we saw on the first ultimatum, another couple left. They propose early. The first season of the show, a couple proposed because the guy got all scared and shit. And then we see that Lisa is like, ooh, I'm pregnant. And so they definitely need to have a backup couple because it was unfortunate that basically we already know, we could tell that Trey was going to date Lisa and Raya was going to date Chris. And I would have loved to see that. We didn't get to see that. So we should have seen another couple come in so that it could be more couples trying out the trial marriages. Netflix needs to do that. And I don't really see Netflix doing that because I feel that the casting department from Netflix tends to be a bit lazy. And I don't really see them actually like having backup couples. So I think they need to write it in the contract that even if you're pregnant or something, you still need to stay on the show and be there for the entire season. Because it's not fair to us fans, especially how Lisa was. Can you imagine how good this season would have been? As I said earlier, if Lisa never left the show, we were robbed. We were robbed of all the memes, all the hood rat shit, all the ghetto shit, all the abuse. I'm not saying physical, but I just mean abuse. Like, we would have seen how many mind tricks this bitch would have trying to be playing on Chris, like literally having a breakdown every day, breaking furniture. Like, I wanted to see that. So Netflix, keep your couples on the show until the show ends next time. Stop be doing this shit. Don't be doing it. Don't be allowing them to leave. All right. It is almost 11 p.m. I have so many things to do.